look at Jesus. Oh, so bowed down with care. He has promised to defend you. He will all your burden share. Bring you salvation, eternal life to win. Only a look at Jesus. Stand friend. He will bring you peace and comfort and go with you to the end. Bring you salvation, eternal life to win. Only a look, only a look can turn. We'll bring you salvation, eternal life to win. Praise
God for Mr. Lee and for Mr. Bagwell, who have led the choir this day and serve as soloists. We thank God for their singing this day. Come on, let's praise God for these men. Lord our God, how thankful we are for the privilege to stand behind this sacred desk to proclaim the word of God to the people of God. We pray that you would speak to us, that you would grant us wisdom, courage, power for this moment. Honor us with your presence. and with your power. Bless now the spoken word. In the name of Christ our Lord, we pray. And all the people of God who love God said, Amen. Amen. In the book of Samuel, the prophet, the name Samuel means asked of God. You may remember the story of how Samuel's mother Hannah prayed and asked God for a child and said to him, if you give me the child, I will give him back to you. And so Samuel was raised in the house and under the shepherd of the prophet. And now he comes to bring us this word. It's found in Samuel 21, 22, verses 1 through 6. David therefore departed hence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down hither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him. He became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, what an army.
What an army.
An army of misfits. When you look at the book of Samuel, beginning with that 17th chapter, one discovers David and Saul as principal characters, along with Samuel the prophet in Samuel, 1 Samuel 17 through 1 Samuel 22. It is a story of David and how he was chosen, anointed to be the king over God's people. It begins with that 17th chapter. We discover that there is a war and a talking of war between the Philistines and the children of Israel. David is the young shepherd boy. The Bible describes him as young, ruddy, and handsome. David watches the father's flock. He is the youngest of eight of his father's children. Three of his father's sons are members of the army of Israel. And so David, a watchman, a keeper of sheep, he is a shepherd. And in that day, a job of being a shepherd was a job that was well chosen for certain persons to be shepherds. A shepherd is one that guards the sheep, and not only guards the sheep, but also takes the sheep out to pasture and bring them in. David in Psalm 23 describes what a shepherd does for the sheep. And he speaks as though he is a sheep, and he says that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Describes how God paves the way, how God provides for his sheep, and how he protects the sheep, and how he ensures that the sheep will live eternally in safety and in the presence of the Almighty God. To be a sheep of God's fold is to know that whatever you need, God has it. Whatever you need, God got it, and God will share and meet every need that you may have. David is a shepherd boy. When Samuel comes to anoint the king who will replace Saul, you remember that Saul was one who stood above the other men of Israel. He was tall and he was broad-shouldered. He was a man of war and was chosen by the people of God, who declared to God that we want a king, that all the countries, all the people about us, they have a physical king that they can look at and that they can honor, that they can say, this is our king, and we want a king. We want a king that we can touch, that we can talk to. We want a king that meets our needs. And so God allowed them to have a king, even though he was still their king. Even though he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he allowed his people to choose a human form for a king. Can I get some help here today? When we ask God for what we think we need, sometimes God lets us have that, only to discover that that is not what we really need. That God is the King of Kings and that he's the Lord of Lords. That all power in heaven and earth is in his hands. And every now and then he lets some of us use some of that power that belongs to him. Saul started out being a great king, but the Bible helps us. When you look at 1 Samuel 17, 18, 19, 20, and 22, you will discover that Saul changes his attitude about David. David is just a shepherd boy. His father sends him in that 18th chapter. He sends him to the army of Israel to go and to witness and to give victuals that the father has chosen. He takes him and he has him to go and feed his brothers. And David, as he comes to feed his brothers, he discovers that there stands before the arm of Israel a Philistine who is named Goliath. And Goliath is a very tall person. He is a giant among giants. But the Bible helps me to see in this text that giants do fall. That no matter how big you are, how tall you are, no matter what strength you have, your arms are too short to box with God. And so he helps us to see that even though this giant stands before Saul and the armies of Israel and say to them, choose you this day a man to come down and fight with me and I with him. If he wins, then we will serve your God. But if he loses, then you will be our servants. Don't challenge God, because God has all that he needs. He can use the lightning. He can use the thunder. He can use bees. He can use whatever he chooses to use to fight his battle. If you don't believe me, look at Exodus, and you will see that in the book of Exodus, God sent the plagues to war against Pharaoh so that Pharaoh would let God's people go. And so the Bible helps me to understand that there's nothing that God fears and that there's no one that God lifts higher than himself. So the Bible in that 17th chapter has David going before the Philistine, and Saul, hearing the words of David, let no man's hearts fail. Thy servant will go, and thy servant will fight. And listen to what Saul says to David, but you but a youth, and he a man to war from his youth. And so no matter what army you in, you may be an army filled with misfits, but I want you to know at least three things. First, that God is working in your situation. God is working in your situation. He works out everything in agreement with his will. Ephesians 1 and 11 tells us so. Before you conceive, God considered everything that would affect your life, including world events. He knew that David would be able to fight and to win the battle with the Philistine. But the Philistine stands in that 43rd verse of chapter 17. The Philistine stand and said unto David, am I a dog that thou come to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. That 44th verse says, and the Philistine said unto David, come to me, and I'll give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then David, in the 45th verse, said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you unto my hands, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host, thy carcass to the host
of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, unto the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, God is able to deliver in every situation. And God is working in your situation. And so David discovers that God, the God that has delivered him when a lion and a bear attacked his father's flock, David was able to defeat the lion and to defeat the bear and to take the lamb out of the mouth and out of the paw of the bear and also out of that that was trying to destroy God's people. And so the Bible says that David slays Goliath, takes his head and takes it to Saul, and the people of God began to praise David. Touch your neighbor and say, watch out when people start praising you. Come on, help me now. Watch out when people start praising you. The Bible said that the women declared that Saul has killed his 1,000, but David his 10,000. Saul looks at that and he says, now he has the people, he has the sentiments of the people, he has the people singing his praises. What is left for him but the kingdom? And so he says, he won't get my kingdom. I'm going to destroy him. And so he sets up a plan to destroy the people, to destroy the servant of God. And so he sends message to David, by enemies saying that God is allowing Saul to plot against your life. But God has a way to make even people in your house do his will. Remember, David had married Saul's daughter. And what she does is she hides him. She allows him to use an elevator and go out the window. She lets him down to the earth, and David flees for his life. And she takes a hair of a goat and puts it in a frame of a head of a man. And when they came, they discovered that he had escaped. And Saul is now mad with his daughter. But can I help you here? Even God will take your children and turn your children against you to do God's will. Oh, help me, somebody. And so the Bible helps me to understand that no matter what's happening in your life, God is still able to deliver. So God is working in your situation. He works out everything in agreement with his will. Before you were conceived, God considered everything that would affect your life, including world events. When I look at Psalm 139, God uses the moral failure of others to accomplish his plan. If he can use other people's mistakes for good, why are we surprised that he can use our mistakes to achieve his purpose? God works things out in his own will, in his own way. And so David escapes from Saul. And then Jonathan, Saul's own son, loved David as he loved himself. And so he helps David to escape and makes a covenant with David that he would be his friend and that he would allow David even to rise to the throne in spite of himself. And so the Lord even required at the hand of David's enemies that they would support David. And Jonathan caused David to swear again because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. When God wants to work his will, he will get in your family and he will use your family members to help him make his will known and to get things done. And so the Bible points out that Jonathan made a covenant with David that he would not let his father take his life. When you look at the text and you see that David then goes to Nebo to Amalek, the priest. And Amalek was afraid of meeting David and said unto him, why art thou come alone, no man with you? And David said unto Amalek, the priest, the king has commanded me a business and has said unto me, let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee. And I will command and I will appoint my servants to such and such a place. God uses everybody. to do his will. He used the priests. He used David's father. He used David himself to do his will. Look at the text. David therefore departed hence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down hither to him. They were afraid that Saul would take their own lives for fear of them protecting David. And everyone that was in distress, here it is, these misfits. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. Have you ever felt distress? Have the spirit of distress come upon you? What makes us distressed? It makes us distressed when we do not know God's will for our lives. And it causes distress when we find that we want to do one thing and we cannot do it. And we cannot do it sometimes because God will not let us do it. And the Bible says that these men who were in distress came to be a part of David's army, to be a part of the 400 that David now had on his side. And everyone that was in debt, it'll be on your street now. All of us have some debt. All of us have some debt. Those of us who think that we don't have debt, let me ask you, if God has done something for you, if God has blessed you, if God has lifted you out of muck and miry clay and placed your feet on a solid rock, you ought to give God some praise, for you're indebted to him. The psalmist said, "What shall I render unto God for all of his benefits toward me? I know what I will do," the psalmist says. "I will drink of the cup of salvation. I will think about what God has done for me through the death of Jesus Christ, through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ." We all in debt. Paul said, "I'm a debtor still for the goodness of God, for the grace of God, for the mercy of God, for the love of God." We are indebted to God for forgiving us of our sins. That's why David writes in Psalm 51, "Create with me a clean heart, renew it within me the right spirit. Take not the Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation." Don't know about you, but I'm indebted to God. I'm indebted to the blood of Jesus Christ for taking my sins and washing my sins and making me whole again. Sin, I'm indebted to Christ for the forgiveness of my sins. And so he says, look, first of all, those who were distressed, and then those who were in debt, and everyone that was discontented. Have you ever felt discontent? Have you ever felt uncomfortable in a situation? Have you been in a situation where you knew as a member of the body of Christ, you shouldn't have been there? Oh, help me, somebody. Y'all looking at me like I'm strange. But some of us have always been in some place where we should not have been, knowing that we were disciples of Christ. When I first came to San Antonio, I started asking about where black folk hung out. Where did they go? Where did they go to have a good time? And somebody gave me a downtown, uptown cafe up there on New Brunswick. I went up there looking. And guess what? I saw a deacon. And when he saw me, he moved that bottle further down. Oh, help me, somebody. And then they said there was another place there on Houston Street, right across the track. Y'all know what I'm talking about. What's the name of that place? Tucker's. Yeah. I went to Tucker's. When I walked in Tucker's, I saw several members. And they became uncomfortable because the pastor was in there. And I stepped up to the bar and I said to him, "Sir, I'd like to have a drink." a Coca-Cola. Man came up to me, he was a member of Second Baptist. He said, Reverend, let me buy you a drink. I said, well, my drink probably costs more than your drink because, you know, if you don't drink liquor, those soft drinks cost more than the liquor drinks. Y'all know I'm right. Y'all know I'm right. So I said to him, I said, will I see you in church Sunday? He said, sure, I'll be there singing in the choir. Oh, y'all catch it on your way home. Catch it on your way home. That member later said to me, Reverend, I won't be going back to Tucker. I said, oh, it's all right. I'll find you wherever you are. Wherever you are, you don't have to worry about Tucker. I'll find you wherever you are. Christ knows, he understands, he knows where we go, and he goes there to make sure that we who are part of the body of Christ be a living testimony about God's goodness and of God's grace and of God's mercy. Many of us want a title, but we don't want the testimony. We don't want to struggle for Christ. We want to walk with the world, be in the world, and be as the world. And then on Sundays, we want to be all of that. Can I help somebody here? God knows your heart. God knows your heart, and if your heart is with God, he understands, and he will bring us to a point when we are discontented with situations and with ourselves. God knows how to make it right for us. You remember Job, don't you? When God bragged on Job by asking Satan, where have you been? Satan said, I've been up and down the earth. I've been walking up and down the earth, seeing whom I may devour. And he said, have you considered my servant Job? Yes, I've considered your servant Job. But Job is contented because you have built a fence around him and you have given him everything that he needs and everything that he wants. If you take that fence from around him, I'll make him curse you to your face. And you know, God let Satan do certain things. He let him kill his sons and daughters. He let his cattle and his herds be killed. And he sent a storm, and the whirlwind took out his sons and daughters. They were having a party, and he took them out. But guess what? When the word got to Job, Job did not curse God. Job was contented in his faith, in his love for God. He said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When you're going through your situations, know to bless God. If you praise him, he'll bring you out of them. If you praise him, he'll honor your praise. So David has with him, he has with him everyone that was in distress, everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented. They gathered themselves unto him, and David became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. Can I help you here? God will put people in your path and give you leadership over them. Those who are hurting and those who want to find joy in serving the true and living God. The second thing, do not let anyone look down on you. Do not let anyone look down on you. These persons were distressed, they were discontented, and they were in debt. But David accepted these persons as a part of his band, as a part of the 400 that he would give leadership to. 1 Timothy 4:12, Paul says, do not let anyone look down on you, to his son Timothy. If God says you are qualified, you are. You should not be overlooked because of your age, your gender, your nationality, your education, or your financial status. People will try to put you down, but if you trust God, he will lift you up. If you trust God, he will lift you up. That's what happened to David when his brothers said to him, why are you here? Did you come to make fun of us? You need to be back watching over the sheep. David heard the cry of choose your man this day who will fight with me and I with him. Whoever's victorious, that's who you will serve. But thanks be to God that David, even when his brothers tried to put him down, he stood up. And whenever people try to put you down, don't forget to praise God. Don't forget to talk to God. Don't forget to let God use you, to let God lift you up. He knows how to lift us up. He knows how to lift us up. He knows how to bless us whenever we're going through. So don't let anybody look down on you. If God says you're qualified, you are. She'll never forget. I sent out four letters when I was looking for a church, getting out of the Air Force. I sent a letter to Antioch Baptist in Houston. I sent a letter to New Hope Baptist in Houston and one to New Hope Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. New Hope Baptist Church in Dallas, many of them who were a part of that church knew me. They knew me as a boy. They knew me as a student. Many of them were my teachers at my elementary school and in my high school. And when I showed up, there was a man named Mr. Davis. He was the principal. He was the assistant principal at the J.P. Starks Elementary School that I attended. And when I walked in the door, I looked at him. I said, Mr. Davis. He looked at me. He said, is that you, Robert? I said, yes, sir. I said, I have sent a letter seeking the pastorship of this church. He looked at me and he said, you want to be the pastor here? I said, yes, sir. He said, where you live now? He remembered that I'd lived in the projects. He remembered that I didn't have much. He remembered that my mother was a single parent because of the death of my father. He remembered the clothes that I wore. He remembered the shoes that I wore. And then he said to me, Robert, I can't see you being my pastor. I looked at him, I said, Brother Davis, I've grown. I've done a lot of things. I have this resume. Read it. Read it. Look at it. And he looked at me and said, I'm a part of the pulpit committee. And when it comes up, I'm telling you right now, I say no. But God is good to me. God is good to me. He didn't want me to be at New Hope. He didn't want me to be at Antioch. He wanted me to be at Second Baptist. And I praise God every day when I come to this place, when I drive in the parking lot, I say, thanks be to God, for he's worthy of all my praise. He's worthy of all my thanksgiving. And guess what? Antioch in Houston, Texas, they have had four pastors in these 25 years. They have had four pastors. And guess what? New Hope in Dallas has had four pastors. Guess how many Second Baptists has had in 25 years? One, because I did not let folk look down on me. I kept moving. No matter what your situation is, no matter where you used to live, God is able to deliver. God is able to raise you to a height where you can praise him and lead others in the praise of God. Don't let anybody look down on you because of your nationality. Another incident in my life, I filled out an application to be a Navy chaplain. I filled out that application in Richmond, Virginia. I had not heard from them in 6 months, so I went to the Naval Station to ask about what happened to my application. Man that was there happened to be black. And I said to him, sir, 6 months ago I filled out an application and I haven't heard anything. He looked at me and he said, when did you do it? And I told him the date, I told him the time. I had the name that I talked to. He said, well, he's no longer stationed here. Let me look in his desk and see if that application is still there. He looked in the desk and the application was still there. And he looked at him, he said, the application is still here. We have not processed it. I said, why? He looked at me and the guy that had taken my application, he didn't look like me, he didn't comb his hair like I comb my hair. He didn't have the hue I have. And so he had highlighted what I said. When it said race, I said Negroic. And he said, he wrote a little note by it, said, there's no such thing as a Negroid race. And so he didn't process it, because I didn't say I was colored. I didn't say I was black. I didn't say I was African American. I said I was Negroid and wrote it in. Can I help you today? If God wants you to be something, if God wants to use you, he'll open up a door. He'll make a way. If God wants to use you in a particular sphere of life, he'll make it happen for you. I went and filled out one for the Air Force, and immediately, I was chosen to be a military chaplain candidate, meaning I didn't have the qualifications. I didn't have the Masters of Divinity, and so they could not take me in as a chaplain, so they made me a candidate. When you read my history, you will discover that God had opened up a door in the Air Force to make me the first chaplain candidate in the history of the Air Force. Not the first black, but the first. God uses you. Some of you are the first in your field, the first in your family, because God would not let folk look down on you and would not let you look down on yourself. He lifts us to higher heights. He puts us where he wants us to be. People will try to put you down, but if you trust God, he will lift you up. Here, these misfits, distressed men, men in debt, men who were discontented. Well, finally, when you cannot understand, still trust God. When you can understand what God is doing, you still have to trust him. Proverbs 3 and 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. When you cannot figure it out, trust God. When things don't add up right for you, don't quit. Don't turn around. Don't stop trusting God. Trust God the more. Job trusted God. David trusted God. Saul tried to kill him, but David played the sweet music for Saul. When the evil spirit came upon Saul, they sent for David, and David played sweet music until Saul's evil spirit had passed. Saul is jealous of David. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, you don't have to be jealous of me. God is working his own plan in my life. Takes a javelin, throws it, but God helped David to escape. When the world throws weapons of hatred, weapons of jealousy and spite, God shows you how to duck it. God shows you how to move away from it. And so I don't know about you, but I'm glad that God looked beyond my faults and saw my needs. He looked beyond the things that I have done and the things that I have said. He looked beyond my sins and saw in this sinner a saint of God who would proclaim God's word in season and out of season. You can trust God. When you cannot see his hand, trust his heart. When it looks like God has forgotten you, still trust him. I was by the deathbed of Mrs. Marshall when she passed. Her husband was there, and all four of her daughters and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. We crowded in the room. And I never forget her father, the husband. He looked at her, and he looked at me, and he looked at his children. He said, I don't understand. I don't understand. I don't understand. It's hard for me to understand why God would let this happen. Deacon Reed, his son-in-law, put his arms around his father-in-law He said, we have to trust God. Y'all will catch that on your way home. One says, I don't understand. The other one says, we have to trust God. He took the words out of my mouth. And when I prayed for an understanding that we may understand that God knows what he's doing when he does it, and he knows how to do it. Mr. Marshall said, I'm not going to let her go. I'm going to hold on. And then the doctor came in and showed him what was going on and what was not going on in her mind. He said, if she lives, she will live in the condition that you see her in now. And the father then said, the husband then said, God knows best. God knows best. How many of us know that God knows best? God knows best. Look at your own life. Look at who you are. Look at what you were. And how God looked beyond your faults. And saw your needs, the needs of your family, the needs of this church. Made you a deacon, made you a choir member, made you an usher. You think that was your own desire? No, God is at work in your life. Thank God that the things you used to do, the things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. Why? Because if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are done away with. New things happen in our lives. We learn to pray. We learn to sing hymns of the church. We learn to proclaim the goodness of God in this place. And so when you don't understand, still trust God. I trust in God. Whatever happens, whatever may be, I trust in God. And the reason why I trust in God, because God loves me so. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish but have life everlasting. Misfit, but I trust God. Discontented, but I trust God. In debt, but I trust God. He's made me a soldier in his army. To be a soldier in his army, you have to be born again. To be born again means that you have a right relationship with God. That whatever he's doing, you trust him. You trust him. You trust him. I have a little car that I love to drive. And every time I get in it, it tells me that something is wrong with one of my tires. It has a little, and some of you got that in your cars. You keep blinking, telling you something's wrong with your tire. I took the car up to the tire station on W.W. White. And I said to the man, would you check my tires? I said, I want 40 pounds of air in all the tires. He checked the tires and he came back and said, sir, they already got 40 pounds of air. I said, well, this thing keep on blinking. It tells me that something's wrong with my tire. He looked at me and he said, some things you just got to take to the dealer. Y'all catch it. Y'all catch it. There are some things that we don't understand until we go to God. We go to God, and God is the one that regulates. He's the one that fixes. He's the one that gives us another chance. Can I tell you about the man that was discontented, the one that was in debt, and the one that was distressed? When they went to David and became a part of his army, guess what? David did not ask them about their past. He just accepted them as they were. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, God accepted me
just as I am, without one plea, with no one to defend me, no one, I came to him just as I was, weary, wounded, and sad. I found in him a resting place. And guess what? He's made me glad. Is there anybody here that's glad to be in God's army? Is there anybody here that's glad that he accepted you? Is there anybody here that will be a living testimony that God is able to deliver and he takes us just as we are, washes us, cleanses us, sets us free, and gives us a new job, a new responsibility? And so if you're here today, in debt, discontented, and distressed, can I recommend Jesus to you? Can I recommend Jesus to you? He is the Rose of Sharon. He is the Lily of the Valley. He is the bright and morning star. He's the horse plying in the valley. He's the rock hewed out of a mountain, rolling down through Babylon, tearing down the foundations of the world. He is the Son of God. He was crucified, dead, buried, but on that third day morning, he gets up from the grave with all power and heaven and earth in his hands. Is there anybody here that loves my Savior? Is there anybody here is willing to trust him? We invite you to come now. The door to my Father's house is standing open. You may have applied for one job, didn't get it, but God opened up another door. He's still making a way for you and for me. Church is standing on its feet. Choir sings.
God has for me, is for me.
What God has for me is for me.
What God has for me is for me. I know without a doubt that he can bring me out. What God has for me.
Coming to us, our friend who comes to ask for prayer. And so we ask that our deacons will gather around her and that we will talk to God on her behalf. Eternal and everlasting God, how thankful we are that your servant has come out of her conditions, come out of her situations. Come agreeing with you and with us that prayer, the prayers of the righteous, availeth much. So we thank you, our God, for her courage to come before this congregation to seek prayer. And so now we ask your blessings upon her, that you would take her as she is, and that you would make her as she ought to be. We know that you can do it, for you've done it for us. You did it for David after he had sinned. You created with him a clean heart. You renewed with him in him the right spirit. And so we pray that whatever this sister in Christ needs, that you will provide it. She comes saying to us, it is my desire to abide in Christ, to be a part of the vine, that I may be productive and bring forth fruit. And so we thank you, our God, that she trusts in you and that she puts her trust in the people of God to ordain and to anoint her afresh. And so, our God, whatever she needs, we pray that you will provide it, that you give her a sound mind, a receptive heart. Restore unto her the joy that has been taken from her. Bless her and keep her. Make your face to shine upon her. And give her your grace, your mercy, your forgiveness, and your compassion. Thank you for allowing us to talk to you on her behalf. Honor our desire that she be one with us and one among us that puts her trust in the true and living God. Hear our prayer, O Lord, for we ask it in the name of Jesus the Christ, knowing that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. And every tongue must confess. Thank you. In the name of Christ, we pray. And all the people of God said amen.
Amen.
And those who were not afraid shouted hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Come on, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And now receive the benediction. Lord our God, we thank you for working in our situation. We thank you, our God, that you do not let anyone look down on your church and on your people. We promise, as we go from this place, to trust you, even when we do not understand what you're doing. And now, may your grace, the grace of God, the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with us. Misfits that we are, but servants of God, abide with us now and forever. In the name of Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we pray. And all the people of God said, amen. And they went their way rejoicing. Do not forget to go and have a meal with Joanne and the other members of our church. It's in the fellowship hall.